Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into God's house and welcome you all to the Long Meadow Church of the Brethren Worldwide Television Channels YouTube Network. You got it. Got them all. Been practicing that all week long. For the sermon titled, No Guarantee. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. And two fellows had decided to go to a menswear store. The one man had to go and deliver a speech for the 4-H presentation, and he wanted to get a brand new suit. And so they went to the store, and he got pants and a coat and a shirt and a tie, and he got everything fitted. And he kept asking the salesman, is this the best? And the salesman kept saying, I guarantee you this will be the last suit. Is this the best? I guarantee you this suit will be on you forever. I guarantee you this suit is impervious to everything. So they went to the big hotel where he was to give his speech, and he did really well. He come out of there, and it was raining really bad, and neither one of them had brought an umbrella. And so they decided to walk across the street to the bus station to get ready to go home, and they got soaking wet. And as they rode home on the bus, the suit the man was wearing shrunk terribly. And so the minute they got off the bus, they marched right down the street there in town to the menswear shop, and they come through the door. And the attendant looked and saw him coming in, and the man wearing the suit said, I was in here about 12 days ago and bought this suit. Do you remember me? And the quick-thinking man looked at him and said, I sure do. And my, how you have grown. Luke chapter 12. Verse 35, Jesus speaking, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May God add his blessings to these words and to this sermon as we seek him in prayer. Father, strengthen us for this message we are about to receive. Let it be full. Let it find where it needs to be. Let it lift us up. And let it teach us. Father, let us go from here strengthened and ready to meet the world yet again, preparing ourselves, watching, waiting until that day comes. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. I'm going to warn you today that I have a burr, is the old saying, I got a burr in my saddle. So I can guarantee you right now, I'm going to come across a little strong today. I make no guarantees of speaking softly. Practically, the dictionary defines the word practically as almost. Practically is a word we use when we want to show something we've almost done. I, Paul Letterman III, am practically a millionaire. As soon as I have 900,999 more dollars, I'll be there. But I'm practically a millionaire. I am practically finished my Brussels sprouts, Mom. Practically. You gave me 5. I have 4 left. I'm practically finished then. I practically paid nothing for that tractor, honey. You know, when you consider its worth and I find all the rest of the parts it needs to put it together, I practically paid nothing for it. I practically made it to church this morning. And though I didn't, I thought about it and I said a prayer. And that's practically the same thing. And more often than not, we hear the word guarantee and fail to realize that the word guarantee is just a disguise of the word practically, almost, the truth. But often, there is no guarantee. In 1985, because he just had to know, the whole world had to know this. This had been something that had been speculated on for decades, decades upon decades. The whole world had to know. They just needed to know. I didn't even know that I needed to know until I knew what I didn't know that I needed to know. And I rehearsed that, so I know I said it right. On September 1st, 1985, I wasn't even out of high school yet. At 2:20 in the morning, an explorer discovered the worth of the word guarantee. At 2:10 that morning, there was a lot of silence with that discovery, the discoverer and his crew. They had all but given up hope. They knew they were in the right place looking for this, but they couldn't find it. And at 2:15 a.m. on September 1st, 1985, the entire ship that they were on went silent. Everyone dared not breathe as the monitors everywhere on the boat brought into reality the guarantee at the bottom of the ocean. And at 2:20, the words were uttered, "We have found her." She was 882 feet long when she left Queenstown, Ireland on April the 11th. And she was headed toward New York. She had 2,200 passengers and crew and 130,000 pounds of meat and fish and 2,000 pounds of ice cream, 4,000 tons of asparagus. She had a swimming pool, tennis courts, billiard rooms, barber shops, salons. Even the third class passengers traveled better than most first class passengers on ships of that day. She had 20 lifeboats. And she was told that she was guaranteed to land in New York. Royal Mail Service, HMS Titanic, ignored ice warnings, believing in what was said about her. And at 11:40 p.m. on the 14th of April, she hit an iceberg, stalled, and at 2:20 in the morning, sank. Captain Edward John Smith said of his boat upon her ready to be launched, "Even God himself can't sink this boat. I guarantee it." Every statement made everywhere said unsinkable, but yet after the disaster happened, the builders of the boat were brought in and said they said practically unsinkable. There was every guarantee made that this trip would be etched in the books, that the greatest boat ever built for that moment, that time, could not sink. Incidentally, Bob Ballard discovered the front end of the HMS Titanic at 2:20 in the morning, the same time she went down. And yet 111 years ago, on April 14th, a boat that was guaranteed sank. There are no guarantees. None. Now I wonder if you think in yourself right now, what's gotten in him today? I can't say a bee in my bonnet because I don't wear one. Although I guess you could say a cap is a bonnet. And if you were English and you wore a peaked cap. It would be called a bonnet. But now, I have a burr in my saddle. When folks say things like, I've got time. How many people in this room have made the statement, I got time? Oh, yeah. How about the statement, I'll be there? How about this one? I'll make it there one day. But when I don't, it's understood why I didn't. Because there are no guarantees. All this past week, I told the entire world that knows me, I was going somewhere on Saturday morning. I had made plans for it. I was going to go there Saturday morning. Hey, Greg, spin them plans up, please. I'm about to cook up here. I'm going there on Saturday morning. Saturday. That's where I'm going. Saturday morning came, and I didn't go where I thought I was going to go, but I went where I didn't think I'd ever go, but I went because the person I know and love went and asked me to go. Got it. There's no guarantees. There's none. Let me ask you this question. How many people in this room know what the sun is? Put your hands up. Everybody in this room know what the sun is? I didn't see a lot of hands go up. S-U-N, the sun. That's that big yellow ball that's currently glowing out there. Let's try it again. How many people know what the sun is? Okay. See? You thought I was going to try to trick you. You're smart. Now, let's continue on. How many people knows where the sun comes up? I'm not going to ask you the point. We all know it comes up in the west, east, right? We all know it sets in the east-west, right? I got a question. Will the sun come up tomorrow? There are no guarantees. None. This past week on the radio, I heard an advertisement for a business down Balmer that said, and I quote, our guarantee is as strong as the guarantee that the sun will rise tomorrow. I had to pull over beside the road because it hit me like a ton of bricks. There are no guarantees. There are none. There are no guarantees. There are none. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Usually I tear apart a scripture and we talk about what it means. I don't have to with this. It is very, very, very clear. There are no guarantees, Jesus says. None. You cannot no more know when he's going to show up than you know as to what the winning lottery numbers will be on Monday. I guess that's when they're drawn. You cannot no more know than when Jesus Christ is coming back than you know where a lightning strike will land. When a volcano is going to erupt. When a tidal wave is going to show up. You just don't know. And for those that say, I know this, there are no guarantees. Jesus is speaking about that. I'm going to put it into country vernacular in case you're not getting it. My grandfather said, get up in that loft and get that hay stacked up while I run into town and pick up feed sacks. I expect it to be done by the time I get back. This was a real conversation. We had unloaded 2 wagon loads of hay. He had to go to town. I had gotten myself in trouble. Again, I know that's hard to believe. And my punishment was, instead of getting to go to town and have candy, I had to stack the hay in the barn. I knew where he was going. I knew how long it took. I knew what it would take to stack the hay. I knew when he'd be back. So the minute I saw that truck leave out of sight, I put 2 bales together, one up in the back, one in the front, and made myself a little reclining chair up there in the barn and sat down. I'll take my good old time doing this. And that's when I heard the truck pull back in the driveway because my grandfather had forgot his wallet. That was an uncomfortable moment for me while he sat and watched me stack the hay, and then he went to town without me. We get ourselves lulled into this false sense of security that we have everything in place, that we know everything, that because we have said these words, because we have taken on this oath, because we have made this proclamation, we're good, we're solid, we're golden, we're ready. We are not. After John Wesley had been preaching for some time, someone said to him, "Are you sure, Mr. Wesley, of your salvation?" The great evangelist, John Wesley. Someone would have the audacity, the nerve to walk up to him and ask him that question. Well, he answered, "Jesus Christ died for the whole world." "Yes, we all believe that," the person said. "But are you sure that you're saved?" Wesley replied that he was sure that provision had been made for his salvation. "But are you sure, Wesley, that you are saved?" He wrote, "It went like an arrow to his heart, and he had no rest or power until that question was settled. Many, many men and women go on month after month, year after year, without power because they do not know their standing in Christ. They are sure, if they are not sure of their own footing in eternity, they don't show it. They think that there is a guarantee." Latimer wrote Ridley once that when he was settled and steadfast in his own salvation, he was as bold as a lion. But all that hope eclipsed because he became fearful and afraid and was disqualified for service. Many are disqualified for service because they are continually doubting their own salvation. And when you start to doubt, you tend to put it beside you and you start to believe in things that don't exist. Many, many years ago, I preached a sermon on the eggies. I believed in my heart of heart that them little things would come in the mail, that I would be able to put the eggies in the microwave, and I would be able to have scrambled eggs or poached eggs in the microwave. They had a guarantee on the box, guaranteed to work. If not, please send them for your money back. Everybody that watched the commercial with me said, "You are not kidding. You're a fool." And I went, "Yes, I am. But I'm a fool that's going to be eating poached eggs while you all are still cracking them in a skillet." And they came. And I followed every instruction and I washed them. And I put them in the microwave. I put eggs in them. And they blew up. I'll show you how dumb I am. I believed in the guarantee. I must have done something wrong. I took everything out. I cleaned the microwave up because Wendy was standing behind me while I did it. And I cleaned everything up and I reread the instructions and I said, "Bing, bing, round 2. And I put the eggies in and I made sure everything was right. I measured the plate. I measured the oven. I did everything. There's a guarantee on the box. I put them in. Boop, 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 boop. I stood there and I heard that thing go, "Rrr." And I turned around and I smiled to no one in particular. And then I heard, "Boom!" I didn't want to open that door because I knew what that sound was. And I opened that door up. That oven was so cleaned in 2 times in 1 week. To this day, I've tried to get rid of that box full of eggies by throwing them away. I was too embarrassed to send them back. And yet they keep appearing somewhere in my face as a reminder. There are no guarantees when you don't believe. When you don't believe. There are four basic categories. Those who think they are saved, but they aren't. Those who think are saved, but aren't. Those who are saved, but don't act like it. Those who are saved, and they act like it. There is no guarantee. We need to accept that fact. Accept it. I, as your pastor, and maybe after this sermon I won't be anymore, but I, as your pastor, am telling you, there is no guarantee. None! Well, maybe. Elizabeth Elliot, in her book, A Slow and Certain Light, tells of two adventurers who stopped by to see her, all loaded with equipment for the rainforest east of the Andes. They sought no advice, just a few phrases to converse with the Indians. She wrote, "Sometimes we come to God as the two adventurers came to me, confident, and we think well-informed and well-equipped. But has it occurred to us that with all of our accumulation of stuff, something is missing?" She suggests that we often ask God for too little. We know what we need, a yes or no answer, please, to a simple question, or perhaps a road sign, something quick and easy to point the way. What we really ought to have is the guide himself. Maps and road signs and a few useful phrases are great things, but it is infinitely better to have someone who has been there and knows the way. So there is a guarantee. There is a guarantee that we have a Savior who died for our sins. That's the truth. That's the guarantee. It happened. He guaranteed that I am dying for your sins. He did not guarantee you would have a life full of roses and fluffy clouds to sleep on and whatever else, flu nonsense. I hear these preachers, they don't talk about the harsh reality sometimes of being a Christian. God is good. I hear this statement all the time. God is good. God loves us. God would never let us die. Everybody has a place with God. That's true. If you have done the one simple thing he's asked. If you have rejected everything else based on a concept, you have no guarantee of your salvation. An elderly man said to the great preacher, H.A. Ironside, "I will not go on unless I know I am saved, or else something, or else know it's hopeless to seek it to be sure of. I want a definite witness, something I can't mistake it at all about." Ironside said, "Suppose you had a vision of an angel who told you your sins were forgiven. Would that be enough to rest on?" Let me ask you that. If you had a vision of an angel coming down to you to say your sins are forgiven, would that be good enough? Would that make it concrete? "Yes, I think it would," he said. "An angel should be just right." And H.A. continued, "But suppose on your deathbed Satan came and said, 'I was the angel transformed to deceive you.' What would you say?" The man was speechless, and Ironside then told him that God has given us something more dependable than the voice of an angel. He has given us the Son who died for our sins. And he has testified in his own word that if we trust him, all our sins are gone. Ironside read 1 John 5:13. "You may know that you have eternal life." Then he said, "Is that not enough to rest on? It is a letter from heaven expressly to you, God's Spirit used to bring assurance to that man's heart." We had this camera here that was put together several years ago that I was not in favor of because I didn't ever want to become too proud. But I understand it reaches people. And so I'm talking to you all on that side of the camera as well. For we don't know who's reaching this. There is no guarantee. There is none unless there was a guarantee given for the believers. Jesus speaking, do not let your hearts be troubled in John 14. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. I am literally begging you today. Don't pay attention to that flu nonsense. Don't pay attention to those voices that tell you anything different, that everything has a guarantee. There is no guarantee but one. And that is the guarantee that if you put yourself fully and completely in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you will be saved. That's all there is. Everything else matters not. I got wound up on this because I got a question asked to me of myself when I heard that. Will I be here tomorrow? I don't know. I'd like to hope so. Will I be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Will I be here next Sunday to continue this message on? I don't know. Could at any moment my voice be silenced? Yes. Do I want to walk away making sure that you felt good? Or do I want to walk away on Sunday mornings making sure that we are all of the same mind that convicts me that Jesus Christ saved me, but I have to pay attention to it? That's the message. I love you all so very much. And I guarantee you one day we're all going away. I promise you. And we are all going to stand judgment. I guarantee it. This book has made note of it. This book has also made note of the greatest guarantee ever. If you love me, if you trust me, you will be with me. That is this book. That is His word. He tells us to be ready. And in the next voice He says, when you're ready, that moment will not come as a shock or a surprise. That moment will come as a letter from heaven inviting you home, my faithful servant. I have prepared a place for you. And though the world has no guarantees worth their writing, the one I have stands forever. Jesus says, I guarantee it. Trust in Him. Love Him. Know Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we don't know if the sun's going to come up tomorrow. For that matter, we don't even know if it's going to set today. We don't even know that if by the time we've sang the last hymn, the trumpet will have sounded and we will be going home. We don't know anything except that there are no guarantees save for the one that your Son has given us. Let us dwell in that. Let us act on that. Let us walk like that. Let us show the world we are Christians, not because we say it, but because we act like it, live it, love it, and share it. Father, I pray that there are so many within the sound of our voices here, that they come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ, that they start being more serious about setting aside the time to be with Him, to learn His word, to strengthen with Him. Because the day is coming. It could happen right now. We need this time, Father. Please, hear our cries, hear our prayers. Strengthen us, smooth us, And we are ever thankful that Jesus Christ died for our salvation. And that against all us, all the rest of the world, everything else, Father, our belief in your Son, his death, his resurrection, has given us safety in eternity. Let us show it while we're here until that day comes. As the song states, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. In his name we pray. Amen. We offer this altar every Sunday to come and release your sins or your prayers or to commune with or whatever. And I still say every Sunday that I'm here to pray with you if you need it. On the other side of that camera, I'm not kidding. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you are lost. If you know him and need to strengthen him, find someone to help you. If you are lost after hearing these words, find that way back. Reach out to us. Reach out to someone. But I'm begging you. There are no guarantees for tomorrow. There is only a guarantee for eternity. May God be with each and every one of you.